Greetings, my name is William. I'm representing Peachtree Property Management, where we invest in fix and hold rental properties located in B, C, and D-class communities. Today's podcast will be about foreclosures, the future of the market, my prediction. And I just like to say that, we do this podcast, but we want to hear your feedback. When I say we, it's myself, my wife, a small team, some other people I consult with on some topics that I think are near and dear to the small investors' growth, to their mindset, to the heart. And this, for the ones that don't know, this podcast was created to help motivate people that were not into real estate to get in, help motivate the ones that got out of real estate to get back in, and we can all as a collection battle gentrification. So today's podcast, I feel like what's going to happen in the future is, I don't know if it's, next 5, 10, 15 years. I'm not going to make that prediction. I won't say 15 years, but somewhere 10 years or less, the prices of houses are going to change. They're going to go probably down a little. And the reason I say that is just thinking about everything. You can go to the these websites, auction.com, auctionhomes.com to court, courthouses and make bids, and when you do that, you have to go with like a personal check, cashier's check, money order, whatever it may be, sign it over to the auctioneer, and you have to present like 5% of what your winning bid is. Some of these, if you go to auction.com, it's a certain percentage at a certain time. You got to make a wire transfer. I've never participated in the courthouse bids, but I have participated in like the auction.com and HUD homes and stuff like that. When I used to be a realtor, I did that training, U.S. home, HUD homes, whatever. I can't remember the name of it, but you have to think some of these people are, and this is from my experience and what other people I've heard. When you are buying properties and then all of a sudden, like say you take a lapse or, a lapse in time. Say you buy in January, you start fixing up in, say, February. And then say you finish by March or April or May, maybe even May. And then you're building up your cash reserves with that house and maybe some other houses. And you don't start back until maybe September or October. Well, in that meantime, the crew that you have working for, you have to find work from someone else. So what's happening is, or what happens, they go off and they start working for someone else. Now, these are 1099 employees, but they kind of, they kind of work with you, work on your schedule. You tell them, how much you want to pay, or y'all come up with an agreement. So they're, a lot of people you hear them, oh, this is my handyman, but they're not really. They're workers. They're 1099. That means they're independent contractors. Just like if you was a realtor for one of these big firms, you're a 1099 in a way. But, you still work up under this for this other person. They call it the BIC, broker in charge. And so I feel like some of these investors, they go to these auction. We've been sending for the last couple of years. They overprice everything. So, I think they're doing it just to keep their workers busy so they don't lose them. So they're probably taking some L's on some things. And like I said, in some other podcasts and maybe on the YouTube video, they are not looking to sell one or two, these big investors. They're not looking to sell one or two properties at a time. They're going to put in a collection. So they might have lost out on these 10 houses, but the other 50 they won on. So they still won as a collection. All right. And so they're still weeding out the regular mom and pop. And so when everything hits an equilibrium. All right. So the United States, yeah, we're growing. But when things, maybe some of these wars die down. And like I say, we were in war with Iraq and Afghanistan, stuff like that for, 20 years. Russia was too, whatever it may be. So everything goes in cycles. So once the war calms down, maybe people move back. Maybe some people will stay. And maybe the war in Darfur, Sudan, that calmed down. We had people going back and forth and stuff like that, whether they're missionaries or people coming over for work visas in other countries, Canada, Mexico, whatever it may be. I won't say Canada, but, say Mexico, they're coming over and they're looking for jobs. Maybe one day it will hit an equilibrium. until the, you know, the population of the world grows or things become more stable. And they could, and it could be, it could do the opposite. It could just keep shooting up if we, you know, we come out of this potential recession. You know, I'm not saying we're in a recession now, but you know, we go on the clear, everything could shoot up also. But the way things are looking, these investors are over, you know, they go to an auction, courthouse auction, and you know, the bid could start at 30 something thousand, and the house could be actually worth, and the dire stress that it's in could be worth 80,000. But because, you know, you're trying to outbid, and you know, so it may jump up all the way. You know, I've seen it go to 210,000. All right, and again, like I said, I haven't bought a courthouse, home from the courthouse, but you know, I've seen it done. And so, you know, it go up to 200-something thousand, and so the house could possibly sell for 310. You got to think about closing costs, you know, the taxes for selling it if you're trying to flip it. Maybe it'd do well for a, what do you call it, a rental property, a long-term rental. You got to think what, you know, the place may need all new plumbing, all new electrical. If you're not doing the work yourself, or if you don't have a consistent crew, you know, you don't know them, they don't know you, what's going to happen is you're going to get hit over the head with a larger fee. If you, especially if you're not able to keep them consistently working, they're not, you know, more, those 1099 workers are not going to cut you breaks. All right. So, you know, more people, they're trying to keep the crew that they have because they already worked it out. They already fired the people they need to fire. They already know how the people work. So they get, you know, they, it's about comfortability of being comfortable with, you know, on the, you know, you can understand some Saturdays are going to be slow. Some Fridays may be slow. They may cut off early, whatever. It's, you already expect it. You know, they're going to be there. They, you know, they may say that, you know, I have this happen too. They may say, oh, we're going to start about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and they really don't start to 9, 10 o'clock. You know, you already know a crew's going to cut out a certain time, whatever it may be, but you may know also that they'll meet their due dates. All right. So, like I said, it's just being comfortable with your crew, keeping them. And, you know, and so some of these housing developments that's being built could possibly be getting overbuilt, and some of the houses are, you know, you'll see it. I've seen it, new homes built, coming for rent, and it used to be new homes built, you know, coming for sale, but now they just renting them out. You know, people are trying to, you know, the prices are high, the down payments, you're going to have to come up with a higher, the credit scores are higher that you got to come up with. So it's a little harder to get into housing. It was easier, but the market was unsure, you know, from, say, like 96. You know, we've been hitting recessions for housing market recessions for a while. So, say, from like 96 to 2014, when the houses were lower, a lot of people were kind of skeptical of trying to get in. You know, it was a short period of time the houses did go up. But I say from 2000, 2002 to 2014, 2012, actually, probably, houses were down. And people were, you know, oh, they're never going to go back up, whatever it may be. So people didn't want to, didn't look at homes as an investment. Rent was still, I mean, rent was a decent price. Now, you know, rent has never gone down. Like I've always said, rent has never gone down since like the 1940s, based off of, you know, stats and statistics. But, you know, this is just how I feel about the market. Like when things equal out, the prices are when we finally realize that some of these builders overbuilt. Possibly some of these people got into houses and it was at their, you know, because like I said before, the price of living is going up, but the minimum wage has not moved. I know in North Carolina, the minimum wage is like $7.50. So even though it's not a federal requirement like what they're trying to do in California, they raise it. So one day when everything does hit that equilibrium, when people are no longer worried or worried as much, you know, you're not going to be able to push carts at Food Line for or Harris Teeter or wherever for $15 to $18 an hour. A bag groceries, it's going to go back down. And so is everything else. All right. So the price of everything, you know, is still going to stay go down a little or stay the same. But the price of, you know, how much you're getting paid is going to go down. I'm just going to be honest with you. And so then people are going to realize, oh, I can't afford this house. There's going to be possibly some more selling, probably at lower prices. But again, these big time companies come in and they have made their money. All right. Where they can buy a maybe 3 or 4 acres and put, you know, depending on how they want to set it up, put 5, 6, 7, 8 houses on it and sell them all for, you know, they might have bought those 5 or 6 acres, say, for $80,000 overpriced. Should have went for like maybe 50 to 60, depending on where you are. And they bought it for 80, could have bought it for 100. We just say $100,000. And then they sold each house for almost $300,000. So they went out, you know, so they made their money. They got a crew that probably works by the hour. They probably, you know, like I said, that's why you get that familiarity and you give them a lot of work. All right. So, you know, they're coming out on top. Even with that, you know, so it's just some things people don't think about. And then, you know, that's why I say you want to buy in at the right price, no matter what the market looks like. Some deals you may miss out on, especially if you start bidding. I've had this happen to me. You go to, you know, some of these bidding websites, and it's sometimes I feel like I probably outbid it myself. They won't tell you the current bid. It's like a what they call a blind bid. So you go and you bid on the house, say for $25,000, $30,000. That's back in the day prices. And, you know, they'll let you know of other bids that come through, or they may say, you know, they may let you know that you've been outbidded or whatever it may be. Or they say, please submit your final, your highest and best offer, and you submit it. And, you know, you wait, you bid it $25,000. Do you do like $25,700? And they may or may not let you know if it's the highest bid. So, you know, some people do a dollar over. They get it, may not get it. I've done it where I've done a few $1,000s over, end up getting the house. But I feel like probably nobody else was betting on the house. I just didn't want to lose it. And so when you go to these auction sites, courthouse auctions, whatever it may be, that's something else. There's going to be a lot of people there. They may just want to run up the price. So when their house comes up, because the auctioneer named the house, they may say 145 M&M Street. I'm eating M&M, so that's where I got the number from. I mean, name from. And so, you know, 145 M&M Street, and somebody else, they don't want to buy. It may start off at $50,000. It may say to the courthouse and these websites, and they want to bid on multiple houses at once, not just one house. You know, so like I say, it's some people that may have, you know, good intentions for their family, but you know, this website, you know, the battle of gentrification, this is to have good intentions, not just for your family, but for other people's families. All right. So that's, you know, you think about it a little broader. I've had bad partnerships where, you know, it was just a bunch of lies. You get a house and, you know, partner up with somebody, been trying to look for a house, trying to look for the person that owns the house for about 5 years. Find the person. You know, you may have money tied up somewhere else, but you want to keep everything flowing. So you partner up with somebody. You may be, you know, the knowledgeable one, the one that can do the work. You may not have the finances freed up at the time. And so you get with that person with the finances, and then they decide, oh, I can make blah, blah, blah money without having to spend, you know, so much money because, you know, you bought at the right price. They would then try to sell. I had it happen where we bought, you know, buy a house in May, and they tried to sell it, or, you know, you want to force a sale also in May. You know, so you had the house about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they want to sell it. You know, and then they tried to get upset with you. And it'd be different if they needed the money. They should, you know, so when you partner up with somebody, ask as many questions as possible. That's what the banks do. You know, some people may feel like they're nosy, but you got to do that. All right. So, you know, asking as many questions. That goes for whatever house you want to buy. You know, just ask as many questions. Let them, you know, don't want to run them off, or especially if they're the seller. But you want to just ask as many questions as possible so you know the numbers that you ran. Just, you know, and go back to the auction, courthouse auction. If you run the numbers, and your highest bid is $180,000 and they run up to $10,000, don't keep betting or waging or bidding, because what's going to happen is, you know, you already ran the numbers. It's not your numbers. You don't know what they're doing. They could be just running up the numbers so they can keep their workers busy. And they may take an L on the house, but they just doing it so they can keep their workers working. And you're trying to run legitimate numbers, and now you're in the hole by, you know, 40,000 because you got in the bidding war. All right. But to go back with the partnership, you know, just ask as many questions as possible. Be nosy. Don't care if they get fed up with it, whatever it is, especially with first couple deals or first deal, you need to know where they stand. All right. You know, they I can see if you need to sell, if your family needed the money, but you just wanted to sell so you can get more money. That's not what we do here. All right. We're here to help other people, not necessarily hurt and not hurt yourself. Cause right now in real estate, I haven't hurt myself. All right. You know, I'm not filthy rich at all or rich. But you know, I have been able to make money. If I stop buying houses, sit on them, the money will come in. But like I say, I keep my houses fixed up. So I'm not a slumlord. I keep buying new houses, you know, and the houses I buy takes a lot of money to fix up. It's not just, you know, I don't get any loans. A lot of people, oh, go get a loan. You can do that if you want to. That's not what I do. All right. So, you know, that's why you don't hear me talk a lot about these little, I won't say scams, but the credit, you know, getting credit cards, getting money off of them. I use credit cards to fix up my properties, but I don't like do the cash advances or apply for 57,000 credit cards. You know, I got three to four main credit cards that I use for real estate. All right, that's because I got multiple houses. So I use one, maybe max it out, go to fix up another house, max that one out. You know, you might have to go back to make small repairs, use that car, whatever it may be. And then by the time, you get those two paid off, you go buy another, you start working on another house, you know? So, you know, I pay for the houses in cash. I pay my workers in cash. I don't use the cash advances and stuff like that because, you know, once the real estate, you know, the credit cards come in. And this part is something that the numbers that the rich people or these big time investors probably run into on the houses that make sense. You know, you think about, well, credit limit, or credit rate, what is it, ARP, APR, whatever, can be 30%. That's fine because basically, you know, I may have to pay $500 a month to that credit card, but the credit card goes down. If you get a loan, the loan stays the same until the loan is paid off. So you might have to pay a loan for... you can get a loan for 5 years, you can get a loan for 10 years. And same thing with a credit card, but until that loan is paid off, you got to pay $300-$500 a month. You may not be able to come back into that loan and pull out, you know, but that credit card, I always be able to pull from it as long as you keep using it. Cause now the credit card companies are looking at it like, well, I can share, you know, I have a limited amount of credit. This company right here is only using 5,000 of the 10, I'm gonna take away some of their credit limit. All right, and so one day you think you got $10,000 and you really only have five. So long as you keep using it and going close to that limit, you know, I may, instead of paying, somebody has a loan that's $300, mine may be 500, but in 6-7 months, it's down to 300. Unless I use it again, it's down to 250, 260. All right. So, you know, I can always go back, pull from it, and use it on the other side. So then you got to look at it like this. That one credit card I used to fix up, say, three houses now. So I'm paying $500 on the credit card, and I'm making, say, if every house was $1,000, I'm making $3,000. All right. So that's what people don't realize. Like, now, instead of a credit card, you got one loan. But you can never go back to it. That house was $1,000. So now, you know, you're paying $300 a month. It's, you know, you're making $700. That's cool. You know, that's what you got to do, or that's what you can do, that's what you do. All right. So like I said, you hear all these, and the reason I want to say, you know, I'm saying this, kind of getting off the topic that I was on, you got a lot of these scammers out here. You know, hear about what was that one, Jay Morrison, So hear about some of these other people, they scamming. Some of these other credit card people, they're scams, you know, they're scamming also. So it's just, you got to be careful. Some people may have good intentions, but, you know, they're just going off feelings and they don't, they haven't really ran the numbers or the market changes and they don't want to change with the market. All right. Or they, again, go to these auction websites and they second guessing themselves and they letting other people dictate how they move now. All right. You got to stay steadfast. Stay on your path. Don't change. Because people will try to knock you off your course. But again, you know, that's just something I just wanted to mention about, you know, these auction websites, going to the courthouse, not trying to fall for the pressure that may be coming from these big time companies, because they could just be doing things to keep their workers. They could be taking L's. And you don't want to do that. You can't afford to take them like they can. And the market may shift. The houses now that are $400,000, and you know they went up in the last couple of years. They probably were like $240,000, $250,000. Now they probably $410,000, $420,000. Well, those houses may still be high. I mean, you know, they may drop down, but they're still gonna be high. You know, in the next 5 to 10 years, they could drop down to from like $410,000, $420,000 to $360,000, $380,000. But they're still higher than what they were. And but people are gonna judge the market on where they were before they drop down. All right. So, you know, they're going to judge, oh, the house is worth $410,000, $420,000. We're in a crash or things are slowing up. Now it's just coming down to where they probably should have been, that $360,000, $380,000. So, you know, the next 5 to 10 years go up, you know, it drop down, but still up over $100,000. All right. Some people are going to take L's. You don't have these people saying, oh, I lost my house. And it's just because they tried to make a move. And they try to use the house for a different type of leverage. They wanted to sell it in maybe 5 to 10 years. And you got to realize if you buy at the top, it's more likely not going to keep going up. It's going to eventually go down, even if it just goes down just a little. You know, you can be hurt. But, you know, like I said at the beginning, please, you know, leave comments. You can reach me at WAG Realty LLC on YouTube. WAG Realty LLC of North Carolina on YouTube. You can reach me at WAG Realty LLC on Facebook. Also see some of the things I'm doing at Peachtree Property Management and Peachtree Property Management on Instagram. Until then, I appreciate everyone. You can also reach me on Spotify. You can listen to me on Castbox. You can, you know, leave donations on Stripe or something like that. I appreciate everyone. Let's keep this, you know, everything flowing and everything going.